If I can find a place to stick that, I will.
Find a place to stick it. Just for context, there is an appendage here, and I'm not sure whether it's a toe or a thumb, or it could be the tip of a finger.
It looks like a tip of a finger.
It does. It also looks like a thumb and a toe. So it's
whatever you want it to be.
Well, what I want it to be is our collective proverbial toe.
No.
And I'm going to have to dip it. Maybe it should just go in the innuendo jar. Just little tickle. Little tickle. Anyways, happy Halloween.
So Flesh Fiction has wrapped up, like the entries are wrapped up. We're in the middle of reading the stories.
Who knows where we'll be by the time
this comes out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's controversial. Like, it's erotic fiction. We're walking a bit of a line here. Like, we've got a flesh fiction, we've got a flash fiction audience. And then we've branched off into this idea of flesh fiction, erotic fiction, which some people love and some have come to not quite right just for that, right? But also, it's not for everyone.
It's not. No, it's never going to be for everyone. And, like, I think when we first did it, like, from my perspective, I haven't written erotic fiction before myself. I have read it and it was just like, oh, like, I've always thought to myself, I could do this. This looks easy and it looks like it has a market. Like, why would I bother writing this middle grade fiction book to sell a handful of copies at high cost and effort for myself when, like, there's evidently a market for this other type of writing that seems pretty easy and quick to kind of push out. And it just, it felt like something I wanted to understand better and to do, basically have an excuse to do. And I felt like I wasn't the only one either who felt that way. I feel like I know a lot of writers who see that kind of writing and go, I could do that.
Yeah.
And I could do it better. And so that was just kind of like, from my perspective, it was exploring that. You know?
Yeah. And it's kind of like, why not? Like, why not explore this area that, I mean, most writing competitions and prizes will steer away from that kind of stuff. Like, they'll just be like, no, we're in our lane. We don't want to offend anyone. But we, like, I guess we don't mind.
We're swerving all over the fucking shop.
Yeah, like, this is interesting. Let's go over there and have a look at it. And so that's why we did it. And we're interested to see what people would write. And if we challenged, like, a group of mostly writers to write their best erotic fiction, like, what would we get?
Yeah, what would
we get? So that's why we did it.
And it has been fascinating. It's been really fascinating. And I think in much the same way that the regular comp, like, you know, sometimes people are just writing stories and it's an idea and it's literally prompted by the prompts and it's just created for that. And sometimes they're actually putting their heart and soul into it. And it really felt like with Flesh Fiction, with the entries I was reading, like, again, it's a mix of those things. But, like, you're getting this insight into people and it's the kind of thing that people don't usually share about themselves. And it felt really personal and really, like, very cool to get such a mix of stuff. And, like, some things which we will get into once we start releasing podcast episodes about Flesh Fiction, about, like, some of the things that we've learned about people, like, just about humanity from reading these stories. And it's
a rich tapestry,
if you will. And, like, and it is, and it's fascinating. And that's what I love about it. And this opportunity to just unleash whatever you wanted to unleash, and people did, and it's so great. So it has been such, for me, like, a joyful experience. I don't like to dwell too much on the thought of, like, what about when my kids one day listen to this and listen to me talking about it, or my mother-in-law, or who knows I have a podcast. I hope she doesn't listen to it already. Like, it's bad enough at the best of times. Or, like, my employer or my clients at work or whoever it might be who is listening. And hi, if you're listening, if you sign up to Patreon, I guess I got, like, a little insight into who's listening. But, yeah, like, that part I don't like to dwell on because I am still uncomfortable about certain parts of my life and that bleeding into. But, like, within the not quite right community, like, hell yeah, like, we can all just, like, let loose. But, yeah, I'll be honest, you know, there's especially the children. Like, I feel for them if, like, say they're in high school years from now and a friend of theirs or an enemy of theirs finds the podcast and they hear it for the first time because a bully was like, your mum said this about you.
Yeah. Like,
that stresses me out, honestly.
Yeah, definitely. But also, like, it's probably not going to happen. And also, we're not in everyone's lounge room. Like, we're not on the radio. It's a very niche thing.
It is, but people still know that we do it. And like in some cases, their parents might listen. Or like, I mean, my children know I have a podcast. One day they're going to get curious and put it on Spotify. But
also when you think about it, what we talk about, so sometimes it does get like a bit risque or whatever, but it's not worse than the radio. It's not worse than like listening to Kyle Sanderlands or something.
Oh, let's not compare ourselves to Kyle Sanderlands. No, but
it's not like over the top. It's not like, holy shit, what are they talking about? It's like, okay, so occasional jokes or whatever. It's not like your kids find out like your mum's doing porn or something. It's a writing podcast with some lewd jokes occasionally.
And lots and lots of swearing. Yeah. But I feel like it is kind of like finding out your mum's done porn. Like not at that level, but also on that spectrum. Do you know what I mean?
But also,
I feel embarrassed for them. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's embarrassing. Like it's embarrassing when your mum comes to pick you up from school and she's dressed normally and being perfectly sensible and doesn't even kiss you on the cheek. That's embarrassing.
But exactly. They'll get embarrassed by whatever. But even if you're a writer and you write a novel and there's a sex scene in it, like a kid's going to be like, oh, your mum wrote a sex scene.
That's my point. Anyway, like I guess that's just a little niggle on the side. Like I said, I don't normally like to dwell on it too much because ultimately like it has been a joy. Mm. It's just been a joy. And like, it's been a joy for other people I know because they've told us, you know, and they're like, oh, this was so fun. And like, I went out of my comfort zone and I did something and I'm proud of myself. Mm. And like all of this stuff, it just feels like we're putting something out into the world that's like just good.
Yeah.
Even though it's like smart. And even though some of it is like, wow.
You got to take the good with the bad, I think. But yeah, like not all of the feedback has been positive. Mm. And we have had a couple of messages from people who like, you know, this is internet bean soup theory, right? When something is not for you,
Tell us about bean soup because you explained bean soup to me because I hadn't heard of it. Yeah. And now it's all I can think about.
Yeah, it's so pervasive. Like bean soup theory on the internet is, it comes from this original post, I think a video, maybe in TikTok or Instagram or whatever, of someone saying, here's my recipe for my favorite bean soup. And they've, you know, they show cooking it up and here's my bean soup. And people in the comments being like, what if I don't like beans? Can I use something else other than beans? And the answer is, well, if you don't like beans, keep scrolling. Like, why are you watching bean soup? Do something else. Like, find a different soup that you enjoy. And
it's such a logical response. And yet, so many people seem to struggle with
it. Yeah. And so it applies. Once you hear about this concept, it unlocks so much of just the way people interact in the world, especially on the internet, of commenting on things and like, this is not for me. But yeah, that's right. So move on with your life. And we get a lot of that, like an amount of that, let's say, on our Facebook page for the comp.
Mm.
People saying like, oh, I don't want to pay money for a competition. Okay. We can definitely justify and explain why we charge for the competition we have and like we can happy to do it again or whatever. But if you don't want to do that, you don't have to do that. Like you can
close the window and do
something else. And yeah, we got some of that pushback for the Flesh Fiction comp as well.
Yeah.
You received an email from-
No,
from
it was some Instagram comments. And look, I don't want to shame this person, right? Mm. But yes, you put anything out there in the world, right? And especially if your audience grows big enough, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get negativity. That's just how the world works. It's very sad. And to a large extent, I can cop that, right? But this one really like hurt my feelings.
Mm.
Like it made me feel like shit for days.
And this is because of your ingrained Catholic guilt, isn't it? It's because you know on some level that person is right.
Yeah, so just to explain, so I don't want to turn around and shame this person, right? Like that's not what I want to do. I guess I just want to like vent a little bit about how it made me feel because basically it's the bean soup thing, right? This person who otherwise enjoys our competition a lot and has said so found the Flesh Fiction competition offensive due to their religious beliefs, right? Which I kind of forget is a thing, which is just ignorant of me. And because I have a Catholic upbringing, my parents weren't religious. I'm not religious, right? But my children go to a Catholic school. It's just kind of more of a cultural thing for me than it is a religious thing, if that makes sense. That's like the school I went to and it's a lovely community and, you know, I love the values of the school and all that sort of stuff. But the religious part is a whole other thing that I just don't feel the need to get into right now, but it's not for me. And it's okay to me that it's for other people. That's all right. And other religions are okay to me too. Like, that's where I stand on it. What serves you basically works. But I'm definitely not a fan of, and sorry if you're hearing a bit of static. I think it's raining outside. I'm definitely not a fan of like any evangelical religion, right, where part of your religion is to push that religion onto other people. Again, I understand why, but I find that to be problematic. And that's what was going on here. So it wasn't just, this isn't for me and I'm disappointed that you would do this. It was essentially, and said in such a nice way too, which maybe made it hurt even more, but you should feel really bad about what you're doing and I'm going to pray for you because essentially if you keep going down this path, you're going to hell. And they didn't say that, but that was the implication, right? I'm not religious. I'm not worried about going to hell. But like, it was such a shaming thing to say.
Yeah.
And I'm here in my own little ignorant world thinking this is wonderful and all the creativity and all the positivity that has come from this thing. And to me, it's just fun. And like, there's no harm done. Like, who's getting harmed here? Nobody. It's just fun and it's stories, it's fiction, and it's people expressing themselves. And I just don't see anything wrong with that. And so I guess I'd been going along blindly, just forgetting that some people think sex is fundamentally like something to be ashamed of.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it just really threw me for a loop. I don't know why it hurt me so much. I think maybe just because it just knocked the wind out of me, out of my sails. Well,
of course it does. I mean, you're positive about something and then someone comes in with something that is negative. And like, you know, coming from a place where they're concerned about like your eternal soul or whatever, everyone is coming from a place of personal compassion, believing their worldview is correct and they're helping the situation. So it's not a negative thing, but it can absolutely knock the wind out of your sails if you're positive about something and then someone comes in and says, oh, you think, and it can be just the most minor thing, really. Like, it doesn't have to be that major. Like, I can see it from their side too. The thing about this evangelism, and I wanted to, I guess, point to a wider trend or a wider idea, because it's not just a religious thing.
No.
Like, being evangelical about your worldview, we do it about all sorts of things. Like, we do it about, like, I don't know, I consider myself on the left, like depending on what topic you're talking about, but wokeism things, like people will have no problem about going online and saying, well, what you're saying here is problematic for X, Y, and Z. And that's their worldview that they're imposing on the world as well. And the person that they're speaking to may not share the same opinion and may not necessarily be wrong about that.
Yeah.
So like, I think we've got to be careful that, you know, any opinion, it's any worldview that people are evangelical about. And what I've noticed as a general trend, and something that really frustrates me that links into the bean soup thing, is people have this real tendency to, if something is not for them, they will morally judge other people for being interested in that, and like in a way that they would not self-reflect. And one example of this that comes up a lot for me is just in the way I notice it is AI. And I hate to like bring up AI again, but there's a whole discourse around AI.
That's such a good example though, because people, they are approaching AI and that whole debate as if they're coming from a place of fundamental truth about that, and not appreciating that there are actually perspectives. And depending on your worldview, depending on your values, some things are more or less important, which mean that the bad things about AI are more or less important to you from that perspective.
And it is about your values. And so, like, if we take AI, right, and all the problems that are wrapped up, like you've got environmental impacts, you've got, you know, artists not getting paid, all of those things are absolutely valid. But if you go like,
but not everyone cares.
Well, it's not only that not everyone cares, like it depends on your perspective and what's important to you, because I see comments on posts and things. In fact, I was watching a video where on YouTube where someone just did a brief AI voice intro for like 5 seconds, and you could tell it was like an AI voice. And in the comments, and the rest of the video for an hour was informative and great. And like one of the comments was like, oh, very disappointed that you used AI in this, don't you know it's destroying the environment? And like, yes, AI has environmental impacts, but the way that people frame things, that the things that are important to them are justified and the things that they don't care about or are not important to them, like that's a moral problem. By which I mean, like, you're on YouTube, there's data centers, there's the internet, there's all the energy that that's taking up, but for you that's okay because you see a value in it. So that you're not concerned about that environmental impact. But you, the moment you see like 5 seconds of AI, you're like, oh, that's the wrong thing because that's not important to me. And that framing is everywhere. And that troubles me so much that people compartmentalize.
But it's even like political stuff, right? Where you get people having like these absolutely inane debates in the sub-comments of the sub-comments of a post. Like, not that I should be there. That's my own fault for going that deep. But, you know, when people will have a view on whatever political issue, but they'll just bring up some complete non sequitur and just be like, well, that then. Like, I wish I had an example, but you might be talking about politics around, let's say it's abortion. So very serious topic. And I'm, again, don't want to get into it right now, but someone will come along and bring into something completely different about like what the right or the left do. Or let's say, for example, trans rights suddenly becomes, and it's just like, that's a different thing though. And now you're not arguing about the same thing. You're arguing about two completely different things based on your values. So, and it's like, you can't ever have a meaningful debate with someone when you keep kind of changing the rules on it almost.
There's definitely that aspect to it.
Yeah.
For me, it's that moralizing other people's choices and not questioning your own. I've got another example. This is completely different, but you know, wind farms, right? So wind farms are a way of getting power, right?
I'm with you so far.
Big propellers. And like, when we're talking about environmental impacts.
Sorry, but calling them big propellers just really cracked me up for some reason. Like, I've just never, like, they are. I've never seen them as big propellers.
They're just large fans, basically. But, you know, so people who are against them will say they kill hundreds of thousands of birds.
Yeah, right.
And they do.
Yeah.
Like, they literally do kill hundreds of thousands of birds. And
yikes.
But millions upon millions of birds die from other random shit that we do.
Yeah.
Right. So you focus in on that, like, I don't want wind farms because they kill hundreds of thousands of birds. All right. Well, have you considered how many birds die to airplanes or other things? And it is, yes, it's true that there is that environmental impact, but it's not, you're not concerned about that environmental impact. You have an ideological position and you're using that fact just to shit on it.
Yeah.
And it's the same with things like AI and all the other things that we talk about, like even going back to your religion thing. Listen, you don't care about the environmental impact because you support all of these other things that you think are justified that also have an environmental impact. You're just shitting on that thing because you have a position against it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the person that sent you the email about flesh fiction, but I'm sure there are other vices that you think are okay and
Whatever. No. But very specifically, it's probably okay to have sex with your wife and that's fine.
Yeah.
And you are in a heterosexual relationship and you have a, well, maybe they do or don't or whatever it is, but like, you'd be okay with that hypothetically because that's not fornicating, especially if you're trying to have a baby and maybe only if you're trying to have a baby. Then in that context, sex is holy, and in any other context, it's unholy. But like, that's great for you because that's your lifestyle and that's, and you're happy with that and that works for you. But like, so sex is okay in these very tight constraints. But over here in a world where no one else even needs to be involved but the two people who are having sex, somehow that's harmful. And I mean, that's just the same sort of thing, right? Like, it's okay to harm the environment here but not there. Well, it's okay to have sex if you do it in this very specific way but not in this other specific way.
Yeah.
And I think what I found most frustrating about this exchange that I had with this person, and I'll be honest, initially I thought they were just joking, like, and I thought they were just having, just by the way, their tone when they first messaged me, and it went back and forth a couple of times. So I was just bantering, thinking, oh, this is just banter. And then I realized very quickly, oh no, this isn't a joke. They mean this. At which point I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, I didn't, I was bantering thinking we were on the same page and we weren't. I essentially, in the end, I said, look, that's fine. Like, it's not for you. I get that. No hard feelings, like, at all. No pun intended. Lol. But that's fine for you. And that's, I get it. No hard feelings. I'm over here and I'm going to keep doing it anyway. But thank you. You don't need to pray for me. I'm comfortable with my decision. Yeah. And the response was, there is no such thing as opinion here.
Yeah.
This is the right way because this is God's ordained way. And your way is like, fundamentally wrong, and I have the answers and I'm correct, and I'm correct because I do what God hypothetically tells me to do, and you are just wrong, and you actually can't have an opinion, and you can't have a different viewpoint because you are wrong. And that that really bothered me because, of course, I share your view. Like, we've all just got different values and there's different ways of being in the world. And for sure, there's some things that I think as humanity we can agree on as being things we want to promote and not promote in society and things that we feel are morally bad and all that sort of stuff to more or less degrees. But to just sort of be so, I don't know, shut down and...
But even that, like, okay, even to the level of, oh, but don't you know this is right and wrong and ordained by God? Okay, I'm not a Christian, but if I truly believed that there was a God and what was in the Bible is his word, and if I don't follow it, I'm going to burn in hell for eternity. Like, if I truly believe that, then I would take all the shit seriously, not just the stuff that's convenient to me. Like, if I'm a straight man and I'm like, oh, believing God, so gay people, that's all bad because that's not me. And, oh, if you want to write an erotic fiction, that's bad because I don't. Oh, but I'm still going to, like, eat shellfish or, like, whatever all of the other commandments are. And, like, you can argue the theology, but what you take seriously tends to be the stuff that is not for you.
Yeah, it's the, like, values-based stuff. And even within a religion, people are going to have different values. They probably have a lot of shared top-tier values. And then once you start going down from that, it becomes less and less. Like, let's say, for example, you will have a Christian vegan person. And then a Christian meat-eating person, right? And veganism is itself, in a way, many like a religion, right? And interestingly, and of course I love him because he's got fuck in the title, but Mark Manson's book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, right? I read that years ago now. I loved it. It's a great modern philosophy kind of book. And his follow-up book, Everything is Fucked, is great too. Like, they're just, lol. No, but they are great, right? Yeah. It's just, it's philosophy, but it's in this way that you can.
But have you read his follow-up book, which is Fuckity Fuck Fuck?
Oh, I can't wait. No, but in that book, he talks about this idea, right, of religion not necessarily being about gods and stuff, that you can have a religion like veganism, for example. Writing can be your religion, right? So all of these sorts of things that just something that you're very passionate about and which you align yourself to, that that becomes your religion. So like I said, within Christianity, if you had a vegan Christian and a meat-eating Christian, there are some very fundamental values that they do not share. And so they might share the top tier ones of some Christianity-based values, like be good to your neighbor and that God is important and God dictates how we should behave and we follow the rules of whatever Christian religion we're in, right? So they could be your top tier shared values. And then down here, you've got these really fundamentally different ones. But like if you are super Christian and you're vegan, you're going to like try and find a way to make that work within your religious views too. And you're going to judge other people's behavior, not just on the religious values, but like on this filter that you have that prioritizes veganism and prioritizes like other animals and their value in the world. And if you're a meat eater, you're going to, in the same way, find a way to justify your behavior in the context of your higher tier values, like that tell you how to behave. And you're going to look for a Bible reference that matches what you say. And you're both going to do that. And like, you're both going to be right and you're both going to be wrong. But like, you're not going to see necessarily that you're wrong because the top tier value of believing the Bible, for example, you're going to interpret it that way and then you're going to be like, well, that's just the rule.
Yeah, people are great at rationalizing their own behavior, not so great at rationalizing other people's behavior. And I mean, look, within Christianity, there was more than 1,000 years, maybe 1,500 years or whatever, of slavery under Christianity, you know, like it's not like the book changed.
Yeah.
It's people's interpretation and the way they rationalize it and what they choose to focus on. And I think, like, going to the point that you made there about core values, I think it's something that we miss in discussions with other people. And we tend to fall into these camps and we're like, I'm on this side, you're on that side. I'm picking apart what you express as your belief and what the things that you say that are wrong. What people often don't think about is where they come from, right? And if you look at people on the left, on the right, or if you're the Christian vegan or the meat-eating vegan, everyone's core...
The meat-eating vegan.
Sorry, the meat-eating Christian. Everyone's core beliefs on some level are positive, right? Whether you're a Christian and you're like, I believe in family. I believe that family is great. And I believe that God is here and he loves us all. Like, you've got positive values. And if you're on the other side and you're like, I'm an atheist. I believe that, like, we make our own way in the world and I believe that we should be good to one another.
And I also believe that all people are equal. I also, by the way, still think that family's great. Like, you might still share that value.
That's right. But you build on top of these core values, and you get to the points that are not positive.
Mm.
Like on the Christian side, you might get to like the Westboro Baptist Church with like, you know,
shaming people.
And like calling people slurs and stuff. You might get to the point where they're like, gay people shouldn't be allowed to have relationships and that kind of thing. Like there's bad outcomes that come from good points. And there's stuff on the left, like absolutely you get to start from great core values till, and then you're like, I don't know, you're throwing paint on paintings in the museum kind of thing. There are absolutely bad outcomes that come from good starting points. And I think a lot of the time in the discussions that people have, they're picking apart like these bad outcomes, but then no one's attacking the core beliefs and like trying to go back to that and seeing how like, well, don't you realize that by throwing paint on a painting, you know, in an art gallery, you're actually working against your own core beliefs, or by telling gay people that you shouldn't be seeing each other, you're actually working against your own core beliefs in certain ways.
Like, because you value family and they might have a lovely family and now you're like working against that.
But you've got to talk to people to their core values, not to your own core values. Yeah. Like there's no point telling someone on...
This is great. I feel like this is a little workshop in how to fight with people online. Not that I like to engage in that, but like, no, you're really opening up a window for me.
There's no point telling someone like, oh, you know, this is what some of the people on the left do all the time is like, oh, you're racist or that's homophobic or that's what they apply a word to it.
Mm.
But that word doesn't really mean much to the person who's like, no, but this position comes from this value.
Mm.
How can you say that's bad when it comes from my good value? Obviously, you're wrong, without like taking them through that process a little bit, if that makes sense.
No, it does. I don't know. Like people are just always going to be people. And like when it comes back to the flesh fiction thing and this comment really destabilizing, I guess, how I felt about it and feeling like, well, yeah, I guess my core value there was creativity and fun and sharing like what lights us up and all of these good things, right? Which I'm sure that person would agree with because they're a writer and they like to enter writing competitions and obviously those things are things they value as well.
Yeah.
And that's where I was coming from. And I don't have a view of sex being evil and, you know, it being somehow that all our entrants are going to go straight to hell and that they need to be prayed for. Like, I see these stories as beautiful and sharing and open. And I don't know, I don't want to feel differently about that. I don't want this other person to feel bad either. Like, scroll on, like you say, scroll on, please. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to shove it in your face. I don't need you to like erotic fiction. I don't need that. But I just need you to not make me feel bad about something that I think is really beautiful.
Yeah.
And I do. It's not even just like, oh, I don't care. It's not that. It's not like I don't care about going to hell and I don't care about God. That's not where I'm coming from at all. I actually think this stuff is beautiful and I believe that everybody sharing this experience is actually adding value to our lives in a world that is like pretty stressful a lot of the time, that we've just got this opportunity to play and have fun as adults and like forget about work and forget about our home stress and just go like, let's just go play in this world of what's entertaining and what lights us up. And I don't know, I just don't know how to move on, I guess. Like the feedback has been so overwhelmingly positive that of course it drowns out this one voice. Maybe it is my ingrained Catholic guilt that gets me. I guess I just don't like the thought that it's hurting anybody.
Yeah.
And maybe I just have to accept that pretty much anything you do is going to hurt somebody if they, you know, put themselves in the line of fire. I don't know.
I think that's very true. You can't please everyone. And
but it's not even, but this is my point. It's not about pleasing everyone because that's okay. I'm okay to say it's not for you and you're not my audience. I don't need to convince you to do this. It's not about that. It's about like feeling like I'm hurting them just by doing it myself, even if I don't do it to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like I can't avoid hurting someone even though I'm not asking them to participate.
Yeah.
That's what I don't love.
Mm. But like, again, I don't think you can think that way because you're always going to piss someone off just by existing.
Oh, thanks. What, you specifically or just...
Like, yeah, well, generally, I mean.
Don't look at me like that.
I mean, like, yeah, I don't want to say it, but.
Oh, maybe I needed the feedback.
I mean, like, just think about, like, what gay people feel like when Christians are just like, you shouldn't exist and you're a abomination against God. I'm like, I'm just sitting here.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just finally, as a privileged middle class white woman getting a taste of what it's like to be othered and it's not very nice. So, and
I'm proud that I don't other people in that way, because I do strongly believe that everybody's got their own values and they should just live their life according to their own values as long as they're not hurting anyone else.
Well, look, just to wrap it up, I will say, like, if this is your first exposure to Bean Soup Theory, I hope it opens your eyes and, like, helps you reflect on your own behavior. And I think there's nothing wrong with getting into, like, discussions online and being like, I think this and you think that, and, like, let's try to agree to disagree or whatever the case may be. But I would warn against moralizing on people. Like, I've got the right view and you're doing the morally wrong thing. And just, like, take a moment to turn the mirror around on yourself and be like, well, what am I rationalizing and telling myself that this is okay and just doing it anyway because I think it's valuable? That's probably what those other people are doing as well, and they have a different set of beliefs. I believe there was a preacher in ancient Judea who said, you know, judge not lest ye be judged, and let he without sin throw the first stone. Like, those are some pretty good concepts that still apply today.
What are you doing with that bowl of stones over there? Should I, like, block? No, exactly. But, like, I just want to say to all the people who did write an entry for Flesh Fiction, like, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you did that. It's so great. I can't wait to share it with everyone.
I wish I had more time to read because it's been slow going, but
it's like, you know, okay, in the regular comp, you read, like, all these different stories and they're all coming from different places and different, you know, some people are rushing in, it's not their best work, and some people it's their first story, and, like, you're getting this variety of quality and styles and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, sometimes if you read a story and it's not that well put together, it's like, oh, that's disappointing, right? In the Flesh Fiction comp, every single story is fascinating, right? Because even if it is someone's first attempt and they don't have all the mechanics right, inverted commas, about how to write, it's still just this insight into who they are as a person. And I guess the regular comps like that too, but sometimes it's much more surface level where this feels like every single one is less than, it's like it's gone deeper, you know what I mean? And it's like,
not, you know what it's like? You know
where's
it's like
the jar, but
it's like if you somehow that had the power to just, like, walk up to everyone's window and look inside and have a look around. Sometimes you're like, oh
hello.
Sometimes you're like, oh, this is pretty normal. And sometimes you're like, whoa, what the fuck is that? What's going on here?
Okay, like,
so I have insight into your behavior, camera into people's bedrooms.
Yeah, like, have you been going around the neighborhood peeking into people's windows? Like, that sounded like
from it was a real place of truth for me.
That's what it sounded like. Well, I'll be also very fascinated to find out which story you wrote. And I'm not going to ask you, and I don't want to know if I've read it yet or not. Don't tell me. But I'll be fascinated. And I hope that I haven't left nasty comments in the, about this story is weird. And
I'm so desperate to tell you stuff, but, like,
we'll find out. Anywho.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Well, I don't feel any better, but at least I got it off my chest.